Welcome to the Premarital Bliss Podcast with your host, licensed professional counselor, Maya Dixon. This is the podcast that will educate and prepare couples and individuals for marriage by exploring all important aspects of the premarital relationship.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Premarital Bliss Podcast. I am your host, Maya Dixon. Today, we have our very first podcast guest. We have Ms. Terry DiMatteo. Terry is a licensed professional counselor in New Jersey. She specializes in attachment and infidelity with couples. And I have invited her on to show today to give us a little bit of insight about what couples should do when they experience infidelity or cheating during the dating or the engagement process. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Thanks.
Hey, Terry, it's Maya.
Hi, Maya. Nice to be speaking.
Hi. I'm so sorry. You know, I was trying to record it from the app on my iPad, and I was just sitting and waiting, and I was like, well, let me make sure she's...
Yes.
So now I'm on my phone because I guess, okay. I don't know what the difference is, but you picked up right away on here. But on the iPad, it just...
Okay, so we're finding our way around with technology. That's okay.
Yes, we
so
are.
when I said hello, were you in the middle of recording?
No, I was sitting in the app still, and I just happened to hear, I could hear my email come through. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's her. Because that's the only email, the email that you have that would come through.
I see.
I thought, maybe that's her. Let me check. And okay, so we're on now.
Okay, so should we want to eliminate this conversation and start again.
Yes, so I have to try to edit it later before I post it.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk about couples, because I know that's your specialty as well as mine, but I wanted to talk about what we mentioned before, which is infidelity or cheating in the relationship beforehand. So before the couple's actually married, and I was giving some thought to our last conversation about if that cheating occurs during the dating process or the engagement process, then how would one know what their next step is? Like, would you end the relationship? Would you stay in a relationship? And what would sort of be the reasons behind maybe someone making that decision?
Right. So that's a great question. I really like that question. So the kind of the mechanics or the anatomy of cheating, let's say, that is the same dynamic, the same mechanism, the same process, regardless of the stage that the couple is in. But I kind of think of it like this, Maya, like if you ask a single person who's not in a relationship about infidelity, a lot of singles would just say, oh, that's a deal breaker, right? The end. Like flip a switch. Like if anyone cheats on me, it's over. Kind of cut and dry. Like there's nothing to think about. It does get complicated. And I mostly work with couples that are married for the most part when there's been infidelity. And there's a lot of investment, right? They've got the mortgage. Mm-hmm. They've got the kids. They've got the history. Mm-hmm. Their families.
The in-laws.
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of, they're knitted together. But a couple that hasn't made that commitment, they don't have that investment. But with all of the couples, regardless of which stage they're in the commitment process or married, it's very important to find out why. Why did this happen? And when we talked before, I think we said engaged couple. So an engaged couple would likely have some pressures on them if they discover an infidelity in the engagement stage, because that is a public announcement. You know, we're engaged means others know. There's some...
The invitations are sent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the finding out the why, which is critically important for healing and for making the decision. So we don't want to make any kind of rash decision if you love the person and you're invested. And the finding out the why... and healing from that to go forward, that takes time. You know, that's a slow and painful process. Recovery is slow and long.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking in that context of the pressures of the public declaration of your a wedding is to happen. That does add some additional pressure because the process of a fair recovery is slow and painful. Is this making sense to you?
It does make sense. And you just mentioned something that was very interesting to mm-hmm. me, Terry. When a couple figures out the why, or the individual, the couple figures out the why
yes.
infidelity took place, what is the next step? Like, what is still the determining factor of do we stay together or
right. Okay. So the main thing is when there's infidelity, a foundational element has been compromised, which is trust and safety. So
yes.
we want to see, and this is why it's a long, painful process, because trust and safety are foundational. They're not, you can't compromise on that. You can't have a little bit of trust or a little bit of safety. It has to be very, very robust. And so the mm-hmm. determining factor is, can we restore trust and safety? Do I feel safe with you? Do I have peace of mind? Do I feel certain that I'm not one of two, but I'm your one and only, you know, the old song, mm-hmm. right? You only have eyes for me. Yes. And when there's infidelity, it really does feel like, well, you had eyes for someone else. You wanted someone other than me. And so the restoration of trust and safety is a big deal. And it doesn't always happen. You know, it's not always mm-hmm. able to be restored because it's so critical. And there's a lot of factors that go involved, but if we go back to a pre-marriage couple, which is the focus of your program and practice, they are really setting up, they are establishing the purpose, as I see it, of the early relationship is to establish trust and safety. That's where it's being,
yes.
that they're setting up the foundation. So if you think of it like this, mm-hmm. during the establishing the trust and safety in the relationship, if it gets compromised at that stage, that's really worth noting. A mistake would be to minimize it and quickly want to move through it. You know, I want to let's move on. We're done. Mm-hmm. Brush it by. But there are a lot of factors in terms of the nature of the infidelity. If it was mm-hmm. not known by others, or it was just between them. I mean, there are a lot of pieces to this. It's a complicated matter. But
it definitely is.
Yeah. The worst thing would be, I think, to minimize it and quickly want to move on, because they mm-hmm. want to restore the trust and safety. But in figuring out the why, the couple can ideally determined what was going on in our relationship that left us vulnerable to this. Where mm-hmm. did we go off track? And so there are times when an infidelity can jolt a couple into crisis. You know, they're kind of drifting apart or things are not going well. And then there's an act of infidelity and suddenly they snap to attention and it jolts them and they're forced to look at each other and what the relationship means and what they mean to each other. And that can be a very powerful wake-up call. And then they address, pay attention to those things that left them vulnerable in the first place. So that's when it goes as best it can, the couple comes out a little stronger.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know about you, but my experience has been with my premarital couples is that when there's infidelity during the dating or during the engagement process,
yes.
is that they do exactly what you just mentioned, is mm-hmm. that they want to, let's hurry up and just get past it. And it's usually one person more than the other person.
Yes,
they kind of want to sweep it under the rug because their take on it is the invitations are sent. I have the ring, I have the dress,
yes.
and I have my bridesmaids, and we have to continue on with this.
Yes.
So when you work with couples, what would you suggest in for those couples who may be listening?
Yes.
And how they can begin that process of figuring out what to do without rushing the process?
Yes. I mean, you know, the timing of this is key, right? Like, is the wedding, mm-hmm. is the wedding a month away? Is it 7?
Yes.
The timing is very key. And I guess one possibility as we're speaking is to say, even if we agree to exchange vows, we still have to tackle this after the vows are said and we exchange rings, or after it's official, we still have work mm-hmm. to do. So if they can be committed to continuing to work on this, even after the ink on the marriage license is dry, that would be very important, to acknowledge that this is unresolved. This is important. It needs our attention after the wedding day. That would be a way of saying we're not sweeping it under the rug. We recognize the severity of this, because infidelity is really it's a crisis. It's different than other kinds of relationship problems. It's different than a battle over where to honeymoon, or what kind of ring to buy, or what's for dinner. This is a big deal, mm-hmm. and so it has to be addressed. So I would say some acknowledgement from the couple that the seriousness of it, and that we have to address this. If they're close to the wedding date, then say we need to be committed to working this out after. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes, it does. Unfortunately, I've had a lot of experience mm-hmm. with this, where maybe one person has a foot out the door. And so they kind of had no intention of getting married, but they didn't mm-hmm. know how to say that upright.
Yes.
And so I then become sort of the mediator,
yes.
To help their own through that process of being able to clarify what it is that they really want
yes.
in the relationship, or that they don't want the relationship,
right.
unfortunately.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah. So they sometimes call that the exit affair, right? There's a label for this, which is I really am having a hard time saying it with words to you directly that I want out. And so they speak to their partner behaviorally. It's a behavioral way of speaking to someone.
Yes.
You know,
sort of like a child acting out.
It's similar to that. I mean, yes, if you do think of a teen that cannot go to the parent, cannot say, I feel this, I need this, and they're not able to do that, then they act out, you know, and that's a way of getting attention or bringing attention to the matter in a way. And so it is a kind of acting out. So this is why it's so important, because sometimes the partner is saying something with their behavior mm-hmm. that they want out, or they can't commit, and they're not able to do that. You might, you probably hear this. They might, I call it the list, when they start listing the person's good qualities, right? She's a good mother. She's
yeah.
a hard worker. When the list mm-hmm. when the list comes out, and they're rationalizing the value of the couple, and it's like an intellectual mm-hmm. exercise, that just doesn't
yes.
feel like passionate love, a robust love to me. It's like selling a product or something, you know.
Yes.
You know, they're it's like as if it's an intellectual decision, like talking about a car purchase or something. yeah, right. She's a great housekeeper, right. He's good with the children, you know, this kind of thing.
Yes. But so in your experience, Terry, what have been some of the why reasons when you work with couples and they've actually gotten to the point where they can figure out the why?
Right. So I know the women's magazines and the talk shows often give mm-hmm. a long list of reasons and a complicated, convoluted,
yes.
Twisted up, confusing, why do people cheat? And I really think that there's one basic reason, really just one. And I have mm-hmm. simplified it, and I think I'm onto something. And it's really, in my opinion, when the relationship, the couple loses their either sexual or emotional connection or both, because the romantic mm-hmm. relationship is, it's romance. It needs to have mm-hmm. the emotional and sexual connection, and the couple needs to respond to one another, be responsive, so that there's, the job of each partner is to make sure the other one is loved and they know it for certain. You know, I've got your back. Yes. I've got your back. You're the most special to me. And when that's mm-hmm. going well, both parties in the relationship are getting their romantic and their intimacy needs met within the relationship, because that's the function of the romantic relationship. That's its, yes. that's its purpose. The best friend model doesn't really work. It's not the best friend. The best friend is the best friend. This is a romantic partner. And so when mm-hmm. that gets kind of soggy or kind of lax, or there's a turning away, there's more separateness, you're not really turning to your partner, you're feeling lonely in the relationship or unloved, or it gets a little lax, it leaves an opening, a vulnerability for an outside party who's giving a little attention, a little compliments. The person's vulnerable to that because they're feeling kind of lonely and unloved. It's really that simple, I think. And it can, the outside, the attention from an outside party could really be something as simple as just being responded to, being noticed,
mm-hmm.
because they're
validation,
very important. And mm-hmm. and that's the romantic relationship really has a function and a purpose. And that doesn't sound romantic to say that, but it really does.
But it is,
because it's unique. It's a unique relationship. It's different from a sibling relationship. It's different from mm-hmm. neighbors. It's different from coworkers. It's different than parental. It has this intimacy that makes it unique. So you need flirty sentimentality, romance, that kind of energy of lovers, right? And when that's not mm-hmm. when that's not there, it does leave both parties actually vulnerable to the attentions of an outside party.
I think that that's a good point that you make. And so what would you suggest that couples do to sort of make sure they're not going down that road? How do we keep it flirty and interested so that both parties feel tended to, so to speak, and feel appreciated and wanted?
Yeah, it's really like the day-to-day things. It can really be small things. For example, eye contact's really important. You know, the comings and goings when you're waking up in the morning, do you take a moment mm-hmm. to connect a little bit? Is walking in the door, you look past your partner and go to somebody yes. else? And it's really the small matters to keep the text messaging or the communications, when it starts to just mm-hmm. become transactional. Or pick up
like a duty.
Yeah, like a duty. Mm-hmm. Yes, that kills it. That you need those little elements. I was on my way to work today. I heard a song and I thought of you. You know, it reminded mm-hmm. me of you. I saw a photo and I was thinking about the time we had together. It reminded me of that special time. To just keep that sentimentality, a little romance, it makes the person feel loved and special, that you're my special someone. I'm getting that feeling with you, my partner. And when that's met, then if someone, an outside party compliments me or comes on to me or is assertive or shows mm-hmm. interest, you can say, oh, thank you, that's flattering, but I'm not available.
Yeah. Because you don't feel starved.
Correct.
For affection and attention.
Yes.
Yes.
Starved is probably a good word when you're really hungry and you go to the grocery store.
Yes.
you want to fill the cart up because you're hungry.
Yes, with everything. Yeah,
something like
whether it's good for you or not.
That's right. That's right. Something like that. So these little things, I mean, couples sometimes say, oh, we have to tend to this romantic part. We need a vacation. We need to for every Friday night. I mean, those things are good, you know, vacations and but you really don't have to do that. It's the,
yeah, it's the little things.
Yeah, the little note in the lunch or the I'm thinking of you or the flirty text or I call them affair-like elements, you know.
Yes.
Keep your juices
hot
flowing.
And spicy.
Hot and spicy.
Yes.
Yeah. That you're my lover, essentially, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something that I've known for a long time, even because, you know, I originally started my work with children and then I moved into adults because I really need to see the whole family system.
Yes.
And then I moved into couples because I'm like, oh, I need to get the couples strong so they have stronger families. And so you mentioned walking in the door and being acknowledged. That is so important, just like even with the parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're big on attachment, and I am as well.
Yes.
But I feel like one of the cruelest things that we can do to somebody that we love is make them feel like they don't matter.
Oh,
meaning
yes.
They walk in the room or into the house, and we don't acknowledge them, or we don't get excited, or even just give them a hug or something.
Yes.
Acknowledge that they are present.
Yes.
And that we're excited that they're present. And I think it's the same with parents. Just as it is with the parent-child relationship. Like, that's one of the cruelest things for a child as well as a spouse or soon-to-be spouse to feel like, you didn't even notice me walk into the room, or did you realize I was home?
Right.
You
know? It's like I'm not.
Do you realize
even there?
I was late from work?
Or and under that is, do you notice me? And under that is, do you love me? Do I matter to you? And if I matter to you, how can I know that for sure? You didn't look at me. This is very, very important. And they sometimes talk about coming in the door, and who's ever walking in the door, you know, in someone's home, they go to the children first. And we say, no, you've got to go to the partner first and connect first.
Yes.
And I tell them that they're each other's most important other. They're the most important person above the children. I said, there's nothing better for the children than mom and dad loving each other. That's the best.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I find a lot of people don't know that. I agree with that wholeheartedly, Terry. Mm. Because I feel like if we have a strong couple relationship, then we're going to be a united front and better parents.
Totally.
And better to tackle the children who are oftentimes, you know, there and wanting and needing. And at times we do have to join and lock arms and forces against the children.
Definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. That keeps the bond. It's a bonding behavior. And, you know, attachment and bonding, it makes them really strong. It's very, very important. And it's really good for the kids. It's good for the children. That's the kind of the point. They say, oh, if I pay attention to the partner, my children will suffer. No, it's the opposite. Right.
And it's good role modeling as well.
Totally.
So I have one more question as I'm being mindful of the time. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, did it just slip my mind? Oh my goodness. I think it did slip my mind.
That happens sometimes. That's okay.
Oh. Yes. Okay. So for those who are...
Oops, I didn't hear you. I can't hear you.
Infidel. Sorry. If they're in a relationship and they feel as though some infidelity is taking place.
Yes.
And they're engaged to be married. How would you advise that they go about addressing that or talking about it? Because in my experience, that has been really difficult. And that has also been part of the rest of the problem besides the infidelity is that they don't know how to talk about it. And they'll end up in a very sort of uncomfortable, sometimes volatile situation.
Right. Because it's so important to excuse me. I have a little... cough. I'm sorry. The answer is to see a good therapist. If you're having trouble maneuvering that, would really be to seek out a professional who's skilled at this so that to help bridge the gap to one another. Trying to handle it on your own is very hard to do. If couples say mm-hmm. we discovered an infidelity 8 months ago and they tried 8 months or more on their own. I mean, I do think seeking a good therapist who's skilled in this area would be key. Because and like I said earlier, mm-hmm. acknowledging it and acknowledging the severity of it and what it means. You know, that is a significant matter. This is important, and this means something. Not to blow by, minimize it. That would be the worst. Yes. But I do think getting a good, a skilled professional would be very important.
Okay, so if they're suspecting it, getting someone to help them intervene to be able to have the mm-hmm. sort of help facilitate that conversation.
I think so. Do you mean if it's not really verified, like if there's a suspicion of it?
No, if it's verified, okay. I think that couples sometimes have a hard, they can't kind of find out the why because there's so much emotion that's taking place that any conversation about it, it just explodes into something that's no longer productive.
Right. And that speaks to, because safety and trust are so paramount, anything that threatens that is damaging, you know, is worrisome. So I really find couples are hyper tuned in to any, outside interest, even if it's really inconsequential or benign. They tend to be very tuned in to a certain glance or a word or any kind of interaction their partner might make with someone if they're seeing that as flirtatious. And so an all-out infidelity mm-hmm. is really monumental.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anything else you would like to share, Ms. Terry, before we wrap up?
I'm thinking about that. So I would say maybe ignore the women's magazines and the talk show. Mm-hmm. Those things.
The blogs.
Yeah, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine is this. They make it very complicated or they say mm-hmm. people who cheat, they get kind of a rap of they're awful. They're morally inept. They're bad characters. They always want to cheat or these mm-hmm. But it's really this feeling lonely and neglected and unloved and unable to get their needs met. So we really want the couples to figure ways to be vulnerable with one another and reach and respond in a way that gets those deeper needs met, because they're having trouble. Yes. They're having trouble doing that clearly if there's infidelity. Yes. That it speaks to that. When they walk in my office and there's been an episode of infidelity, I immediately know that something between them before the infidelity was lagging or wasn't quite mm-hmm. working right. That preceded the infidelity.
Which, when you say that, that makes me think of the fact that I often believe that it takes two, so that everybody has a part in the relationship going well as when it's going bad.
Yes.
And so in thinking about what was wrong before the infidelity took place, shares the blame, because I think that's the other thing that happens with the blogs and the women's magazines and all those things, is that it's all about blaming one person,
right?
And not understanding that it takes two people.
Yes.
So whether it's because one person was feeling starved, well, then the other person starved them out.
Yes.
Or they weren't turning to their partner when one person's turning to the other person's turning away.
Yes.
That it takes two people. And I think that goes a long way, and that helps a lot in being able to kind of recover from it, is when both parties are able to kind of take some ownership.
Definitely. And even if we, as counselors, I think frame it in terms of the unit of two, it's the relation, this third entity, which is the relationship. And when we talk about blame or cause, it's the relationship. Mm-hmm. And because both parties are in the relationship, by very definition, it implies two, right?
Yes.
It's just implied.
I like that.
Yeah. So this sometimes in talking about this, my views get a little misunderstood, that they think that the party that did not engage in the affair directly caused the other one to have the affair, that some kind of lack mm-hmm. in the person who did not have the affair, if they didn't do this or that, the other one wouldn't stray. But that would not be accurate. It's more the, as you said, the give and take, the interaction, the exchange, to keep that mm-hmm. keep turning to one another for your deeper emotional and sexual needs creates the bond and makes it strong so that an outside party can't get in, can't penetrate.
Yes, it's like, exactly. It's like Fort Knox.
They can't get in because you said, I'm getting my those romantic needs. I feel special in love with my partner. So there's no opening.
I matter. When I go home, I matter.
Exactly right. So that's an important message, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate the conversation.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to talking to you soon. We'll keep in contact. And I really hope my listeners love the interview, and I hope that it's beneficial for them.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and I'm happy to be on your program.
Oh, thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, have a good evening. Bye. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Premarital Bliss podcast. Remember, plan your marriage, not just your wedding day.